Welcome to the Development Download with Leaps and Bounds.
Welcome back to the Development Download. I'm Lisa, and I'm so glad you guys are here.
And I'm Erin. Today, we're diving into a topic that can make a big difference on how kids learn, follow directions, and even just interact with the world. We're talking auditory processing.
All right. This is one of those areas that can be a little bit tricky, and it's not just about hearing. We think of auditory processing, meaning it's the sounds that we're hearing in the environment, but it's so much more than that. It's really about how the brain makes sense of what it hears.
Exactly. I think this might be one of those systems that are always underrated, especially if you have a functioning system. So you might not realize how much your auditory system is actually doing. So a child might pass a regular hearing test, but still struggle with understanding what's said to them, especially when you're in a noisy environment, which we often can be found like in a classroom, or even when instructions get a little more complex.
So let's start talking about what is auditory processing. It actually means that it's how the brain takes in that information, interprets it, and then responds. And this could be about the words that are being said or the extraneous sounds within the environment. For instance, if a lights overhead, if there's fluorescent lights overhead and they have that buzzing or that flickering, that could be hard for somebody to filter out that information. And so it becomes really distracting for them.
Right. I think it's almost like a relay race. The ears pick up sounds, send them to the brain. But if that message really gets scrambled along the way, a child might miss key parts of what's being said. And so, Lisa, I'm always about giving examples to parents because, I think if their auditory system is functioning, they might not realize all the challenges with maybe a child that does have difficulty with auditory processing. So I always try to give up those really good, just daily examples. And so one example that I often share with parents is when you're driving and you hear the cars passing you by, you have your music on, and then all of a sudden you hear an emergency vehicle. And what do you pick up right away? What
your
do you
brain start? Should tune into yeah, that, yeah. right?
So you often will have to say, think about, okay, where is that sound coming from? So it helps us to localize where sound is coming from.
Do I need to get over?
Exactly. You have to be then even thinking about just the other cars around you. So you might hear cars like squeal on their brakes, or you might hear different sounds that then makes you reactive. And that's literally those three steps. You have to hear it, you process it, but then all of a sudden that sound starts to go away, like the emergency vehicle is going the other way, and how then quickly you can fall back in to your just normal driving. So okay, one more example.
Yeah,
sorry. Good. This one I think is hilarious for parents because so many parents like relate to this, is when you're in the house, maybe you have a few kids, and all of a sudden you're having them play while you're cooking dinner, and then all of a sudden it goes quiet.
Right. Not good.
It gets scary for a parent because you're like, what's happening? What are they getting into? But then you go quickly check it out and they're just still playing. And so that auditory processing even picks up the lack of sound.
Right, so, the change in the sound. Yeah. Yeah, so we often see kids who might ask what, or they're questioning what the directions were that you gave them. And it can feel, for parents, it can feel like your child is just not listening to them or they're not paying attention. But it's really about the brain having a hard time processing what it's hearing. So like, for instance, you might say, it's time for school, go upstairs and get your shoes. And the child starts to go up the stairs and then they've forgotten the next step, which is go get their shoes. And so they're up there playing. And they cognitively understood the direction, but somewhere along the line, they got distracted by perhaps auditory information and then didn't finish that other step.
Yeah, I almost think of, and this kind of dates me a little bit, Lisa, but the Charlie Brown teacher.
Oh,
so
yeah.
the teacher is trying to talk to the class, and then all Charlie Brown can really hear is wampa, wampa, womp.
Yeah.
And so I think that's truly sometimes our kids' auditory processing. We, as adults, try to talk so much. Mm-hmm. And if our kids aren't processing, it really probably does come through as a womp, a womp, a womp.
Right. I know. As an example, I was working with a client last week, and I was giving her some directions on the trampoline, jump to the star, to the circle, to the square. And so I just gave her those directions, star, circle, square. And she every time would get the very first one, but then lost if we did any others. And so when I broke it down to just one step, she did it. But if we got more than that, she really struggled. And this was a child who I knew understood all of those directions. I knew she was trying hard, but she just couldn't put all of that auditory information together. So sometimes we have difficulty remembering songs or rhymes or even like classroom instructions. So you might notice challenges with reading or spelling, like those might be things that pop up for kids that have auditory processing difficulties, because those skills rely so heavily on recognizing and processing sounds in the words that we're saying.
And the background noise, and I know you mentioned just like the humming from fluorescent mm-hmm. lights. So many schools will have those lights. And so if our children are constantly processing all of those extra sounds, mm-hmm. it is going to be harder to even hear the directions. And so I actually saw a client recently, and their parents said that this little client was picking up the dripping from the faucet outside of her classroom. Oh, and yeah. So if you can imagine, if that's a sound that's coming from outside the classroom, mm-hmm. let alone all the sounds that are happening within the classroom, and then you put on the teacher's directions, mm-hmm. she's gonna look very distracted. She's gonna look where she's not complying to the teacher's expectations. And this client was the sweetest, really. Yeah. And they were really trying to be successful. But if their auditory processing is constantly taking in all of that, then it is going to be really challenging. Yeah. So we're talking classroom, in a cafeteria, a busy household, stores. A child with auditory processing challenges can easily get overwhelmed or even just tune it all out, right?
Right.
And we've seen those types of kids where you're like, hey, hey, and then all of a sudden you're like, you have to go and give them that like physical cue of like, hey, I've been trying to talk to you. Yeah. This can really start to then impact a child's fight or flight response as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been like frequently we might have kids come in that are struggling, and maybe they have their behaviors increase when they're in the cafeteria, because cafeterias are really loud and really hard to filter all of those extraneous sounds out. So we want to look at when some of those behaviors are happening and how different sensory systems could be impacting the child. But for sure, auditory is a big one that can be playing a part. So the good news is there are so many strategies that we can use in therapy to help support auditory processing.
Yes. In occupational therapy, we often work on strengthening a child's ability to attend, filter, and respond appropriately to what they're hearing. That can then look like rhythm and movement activities, listening games, sequencing tasks paired with visuals. And those visuals are so important,
right?
When you're helping strengthen those skills.
For sure. We also love to collaborate with our speech therapists. Sometimes the child needs an additional direct work on language comprehension or phonemic awareness, which is the ability to recognize and play with sounds and words. And so sometimes our speech therapists can also be a part of our team and really help make great strides for these kids.
At home or in school, small environmental changes can help too, like reducing the background noise. And I really sometimes bring this up to teachers, because I think if you're always in that environment, you might not pick up the sound from your fluorescent lights that your students might be really attuning to. Or maybe you're by a busy street, and so those extra sounds, and so just even bringing that up and being like, hey, have you been in your room just quiet, and then picking up on those extra sounds. I think one way is to turn off those lights, right? That's an easy, quick thing that we can be doing. Or maybe putting out some sound dampening components within our room to help with maybe echoes and things like that. giving one direction at a time is super helpful. So this is allowing that client to really process and then be able to perform and feel success, because we know how many of these kids just stop trying altogether, right?
Right.
And so allowing them to be successful and actually taking that time to process that one step is super helpful. And then using those visuals, I will tell parents often, if you have a window and a dry erase marker, you could quickly just jot down all of those expectations. And now, rather than saying that, they can come back to that board or that window and really just be able to check. And then again, feel success.
Right.
Because nothing is worse in the morning and you need to get it done and you have to repeat the directions over and over and over. Nobody's going to be regulated at the end. And right. Nobody's going to feel great about ourselves either. So right, using sure. those visuals, I think, are super helpful. And we all have windows. So just grab a window, a dry erase marker, and just jot down those expectations.
For sure. We also utilize, there's a variety of different auditory programs that we might utilize with our kids when we're doing therapy. And those auditory programs, they each work in a little bit different way, but the goal is that they're going to help that child better process the auditory information around them. And so that's sometimes a tool that we might incorporate as well. But one of my favorite ideas is to incorporate movement. So our vestibular system, our movement system, is one way that we can help regulate our whole body. And so even doing, it's why the brain breaks can be really helpful in the classroom. And it's why, giving the kids a chance to move in their environment can help help them overall better process that auditory information as well, because there's a neural connection there. So let's talk about when auditory processing improves. You know, we see big changes in kids. We see that kids are more confident. They feel more successful when they're given a directive. They can follow routines more independently. We're giving them strategies with like the visual schedules that Erin was talking about. We're giving them strategies to be successful in those situations. And then we can also see their communication skills really blossom. They can let us know when they're feeling stressed because of the auditory information.
It's so rewarding to see that light bulb moment for our kids. When a child who used to get frustrated finally says, "Oh, I've got it." And I think that's super impactful, especially even talking about their social interactions, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen so many kiddos where they just disengage with their peers, even, because if they can't follow the directions and their peers are always frustrated with them, then they just go and find their own activity. And so it is so rewarding.
Right? It is. And sometimes it's hard, you know, if this has been how your system operates your whole life, that it's hard for them to see outside of that. And so as we start to help their bodies gain more skills and we help them with the tools that they need to be successful, it can be really empowering for them to understand, hey, I'm processing this differently. Yes. And here's what I can do about it.
Well, I even have heard kids a lot of times when they maybe are having difficulty, like I was saying, they kind of shut things down, where their response a lot of times when you're talking to them will be I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's their way of getting out of that. But then for them to be able to process what's being said and then engage in that, it's really cool.
And what also makes it really tricky is that sometimes kids will be on it and they'll be able to process that auditory information and those directives. And then sometimes they'll be really struggling. And that makes sense, right? Because we're all, feeling different at different times. Like I came in here with a really really dysregulated, but now we're organized. But for all of you parents, if you've ever felt like your child hears you but is not listening, it just might be something to consider. You know, we're not saying they're always following directions, yes. But there could be times that they're not processing those directions effectively, and so it's worth looking at auditory processing for them.
If this topic resonated with you, we encourage you to check out more resources or talk with your child's therapist about auditory processing and how it might be impacting their daily life.
And as always, thanks for joining us for the Development Download. We are loving sharing this insight to families and helping people better understand all of the processes of sensory processing and child development.
Don't forget to follow us so you don't miss our next episode.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Development Download with Leaps and Bounds.